Good morning. I'd like to call to order the Joint Special Committee on Public Education Appropriations. I am Senator Rod Monroe from Southeast Portland and North Clackamas County. And this is Senator Mark Haas. You want to say anything?
No, thanks.
Okay. Senator Haas is from Washington County. And Representative Betty Comp is the co-chair of this committee. Representative Comp is from Woodburn.
Yes.
Representative Sherry Springer is from somewhere out in the rural parts of the valley.
Sile.
And Representative Frederick, Lou Frederick, is from Northeast Portland and is a close colleague of mine because we happen to be the two representatives on the Commission on Black Affairs. He represents the House, and I represent the Senate on the Commission on Black Affairs. So that's just one of our jobs that we work together on. Anyway, welcome to all of you. Hope you're enjoying your day at the Capitol. I was a teacher for 21 years, high school and then college teaching after that. Representative Comp has been a teacher, a principal. Basically, she's been an educator most of her life. Representative Springer has been on school board. Representative Frederick has been a teacher and a college professor, and he's working on his doctorate degree right now at Portland State.
What? Urban Affairs, Speech and Communication.
Senator Haas is the chair of the Senate Education Committee, and it's the reason that he's here. Anyway, why don't you tell us what we're doing?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You have before you the draft report that you are required to produce every 2 years, discussing whether or not funding provided for K-12 education was adequate. I'd like to walk you through the report just very, very briefly. Page 2 is the review of constitutional and statutory requirements, and as you will recall, these were presented to you by Legislative Council at our last meeting. Page 3 is a discussion of the quality goals according to the quality education model as developed by the Quality Education Commission. Pages 4 and 5 are the recommendations for alternatives for meeting the requirements as recommended by the QEC. Alternative 1 was to continue implementing targeted strategies from their 2010 recommendations. Those targeted strategies included increasing teacher collaboration time, promoting use of formative assessments, and allocating resources to the most impactful programs. Alternative 2 is a phased-in budgeting provisions over 5 biennia. Pages 5 to 11 are the measures to identify progress toward quality goals. I would like to note here the inclusion of disaggregated data that was requested by this committee in 2011 of the Quality Education Commission, so that is included here for the first time in this report. Pages 12 and 13 are the K-12 funding appropriations for the 2013-2015 biennium. This is what Mr. Wilson went over for us at the last hearing, $6.55 billion plus the $100 million special session allocation, leading us to $6.65 billion. Also note, there are $75 million in targeted investments through the OEIB grants that you passed as a legislature last session. Page 14 is the sufficiency determination, whereby we say, did we meet our goal, or did we meet the recommendations of the Quality Education Commission? The Quality Education Commission allocation target was $8.75 billion, which was actually reduced to $8.55 billion due to PERS changes, which are still subject to Supreme Court review. I do want to note that there is a typo on page 14. It says 8.55 million should be billion with a B. So that creates a funding gap of 1.9 billion. As you'll notice the chart on page 14, that is the smallest gap that we have seen since 2005. Pages 15 and 16 discuss the factors leading to the insufficiency. As in previous reports, we're looking at revenue growth challenges historically and increasing costs. Pages 17 to 21 discuss the impact of the insufficiency. So these are the Quality Education Commission's predictions about progress toward goals. They are predicting that we will continue to make progress toward quality goals, but at a slower rate than would have been expected under the full recommendation of the quality education model. Page 22 discusses post-secondary quality education goals. As you will remember, the charge in the original constitutional amendment requires this body to also report on progress towards post-secondary education goals if such goals have been created in statute. And according to legislative counsel, 404020 does not trigger that requirement, so we don't need to address that here. The appendices discuss relevant statutes and prototype school funding comparisons from the quality education model. One other thing I want to note here is I did receive comments from Lori Wimmer at OEA. She just noted an additional correction. She says on page 15, where we've referenced tax increases, they're both characterized as legislative referrals. And she says one was referred by the legislature, but the other was a voter challenge. It was a referendum. Mm-hmm. She can't remember which was which, but I will be happy to go back and research that and, with the committee's permission, make that correction to the draft if it's required, and also to change the typo, obviously, and change a million to a billion.
I believe 50 was the...
Was it measure 50?
Measure 50, yeah.
Thank you. So that is where we are. If you have any questions, Mr. Wilson is here. I'm here to do the best we can
questions.
To answer them.
Yes, Representative Frederick.
I am curious a little bit. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's page 4, particularly page 4 and 5, the alternative 1 and alternative 2. I want to point out for alternative 1 that it is that what is mentioned is high-quality formative assessments to improve instruction, not summative assessments. And that is a significant difference in my view. And I'm curious about what these, the alternatives, because this is my first time on this particular committee looking over this. What does this mean regarding the alternatives? This was a report that came out in 2012 regarding the two alternatives, but I'm not really clear on if there's a next step there, whether we do anything with this, or just are we just reporting that these were the alternatives here? Nope.
This is something that the ballot measure that was approved by the voters back in, was it 03? 2000. That we're required to do every 2 years now. And the most critical number, I think, is the gap. We determine what school funding ought to be if we were doing it appropriately to meet goals. Mm-hmm. And then how much we're actually, funding and what the gap is. And so, and the chart shows that the gap 2 years ago was $3 billion and this year it's $1.9 billion. So it got smaller, and that's a good thing. But overall, it's still a substantial gap, and it means that this state is still not funding education at the appropriate level. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up on another aspect of this, I found two things that were very interesting within this, and one of them dealt with the counseling load that was suggested by the QEM, which I can't think of any school in the Portland School District that comes anywhere close to that number. Yeah. The counseling load is 250, and I know that there's not a school that has a counseling load at that level. But one of the most interesting things I found was the list on page 24, the characteristics of a school system. Frankly, fascinating that that is not as well publicized, as well known as what we want to accomplish. I found those all very, very interesting. It's something that I think if we were to present before a group of students, I think that would be something for them to look over and say, does this make sense to you and certainly does it make sense to their parents. I would be really, I'm going to take this and pass it along to as many places as I possibly can, because it really begins to say, this is what we want. We have been spending an awful lot of time talking about what we don't want to cut, how much problems we have, but this gives a good list of what we would really like to see for education, and I'm just pleased to see it there.
Okay, good. Additional questions for staff? Sherry?
Comment, not a question.
Okay.
But if there's an answer, I'd love to hear it. So on page 5, where it talks about measures to identify progress towards quality goals, and I know that the premier indicator there is the Oaks test, and it's going to be smarter balance. And in this building, any of us that deal with education issues have heard tons of conversations surrounding the validity or not of either of those tests. Yet that is what we put as the indicator. And, you know, now we have achievement compacts. We're still gearing that up. But we have achievement compacts. There's SAT scores. This mentioned also graduation rates, that it was at least considered. And, you know, I would just encourage the commission to look at more than one benchmark as a determination of success or not. Frankly, certainly a test that there's tons of conversation about, whether or not it's even good or not. But yet I haven't heard anybody bring forth the silver bullet and the great one that everybody loves. I wish I could do that. So I just find it very interesting that that is the chosen benchmark for the goal. Mm-hmm. And there aren't other pieces that are within the document that are actually used to grade that.
Yeah. Okay. Well said. I think it was chosen because it was thought to be the best one available, not because it's perfect.
Yeah. Follow-ups, if I may, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Let's have two or three.
Okay.
Quite frankly.
That wouldn't be bad. Representative Kong.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I completely agree with the direction that Representative Furtick and Representative Springer are going in, to the fact that, you know, in one part of the report it says for a formative assessment, and yet then here we're, the only thing that we're reporting on is a summative assessment. It's not the same thing. It is very different. And we talked a little bit last time, 2 years ago, about the transitions that we're making in our statutes, and that, and I really appreciate that they did put the charts on whether people were meeting standards by those assessments, so we have at least a picture there. But I do believe if staff would, in future recommendations, look at exactly what my colleagues have suggested, is, you know, competency-based assessments, those types of a more formative rather than a summative.
Okay. Additional?
Thank you for pointing that out.
Okay, at this time then I would open a public hearing on the draft report on the adequacy of public education funding that has just been presented to us.
Don't you need a work session?
I'll do work session. I'm doing a public hearing first.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody in the audience or anybody signed up? Okay, and you had a document from Lori?
It was just an email. It was just what I
just an email.
Communicated.
Okay. So can you make that available to, or was it emailed to every member of the committee?
No, it was just emailed to me, but I will.
Okay, can you distribute it to
sure.
members of the committee? Thank you. Okay, we'll close the public hearing and open a work session on the Joint Education Committee adequacy draft. Further discussion. Okay.
You want a motion?
You want a motion?
You don't have
Representative
a motion.
Comp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we accept the draft report and as a final report on the adequacy of public education funding.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hass.
Thank you. I, you know, try to accentuate the positive here, and I am heartened that we did close this gap somewhat. And to the math majors in here, it wasn't just the raw numbers, but by a percentage, it was even greater than 2007. So I think we're getting there, and so I'm heartened by that, with the caveat that a good education system isn't solely about money. And so I'm proud of all of you for pushing forward on all of these fronts, whether it's reforms and funding.
Some people find it remarkable that our education system has made rather quantum steps in terms of improvements, in terms of test scores, eighth grade, fifth grade, eighth grade, high school, despite the fact that we've underfunded education. That tells me that our schools are doing more with less and are really, in many ways, doing a rather remarkable job. They're actually improving reading scores and math scores in particular at all levels. But the charts in the draft that show what the increase would be out the next three biennia if we funded it at the proper level and what the increase will be at current level, and it is a gap, and you know, so we could do better. Representative Frederick.
Let me thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree that we have seen some things take place and we've seen some increases, but I'm continually being told about our huge dropout rate, et cetera, and it is not a surprise to me to see the dropout rate as high as it is because we have been over the last 20 years now, we've been offering less and less for students to be involved in and have been focusing more and more on those summative tests and saying that that is the primary thing that they should be paying attention to, which is the testing or doing well on the testing rather than on education and having a comprehensive education. And so for us to see a dropout rate continue to increase doesn't surprise me, but we should not believe that somehow that's because of the kids having the things that they need. They have not had those things, and they have been consistently been told that they are not, that what we really want to see happen with them is how well they do on a math test. And that I keep running into kids who are saying, well, why should I even bother going to school now? The only reason they want me there is for a number, and that's not for me to be doing well. So we've got to recognize we've got to change that attitude as much as we possibly can. We do that, even though we can't do more with less all the time. We have to have people there, and that's going to require providing the resources in the school as well. So I think that's part of the whole effort. We've got to keep that as a holistic concept of what we want with schools. So that's how I'm looking at it.
And we're never going to get close to 40-40-20 with a 30 or 40% dropout rate, which is what we're seeing in many districts today. So that is the one glaring weakness, I think, in our educational system, and that has to be corrected. Okay, and you said that if Ms. Wimmer is correct and there needs to be some minor adjustments in your draft, you will have those available, and that'll be accomplished before full Ways and Means takes this up.
This doesn't go to Ways and Means.
It doesn't go to Ways and Means.
This is it.
It doesn't go to Ways and Means. We get to do it all by ourselves. All right, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I will make those changes.
That's what he's okay, thinking. Good.
That's right.
You've heard the motion. Additional discussion on the motion. Is there any objection to the motion to accepting the draft? Okay. Is there anything more to come before this committee? Thank you very much, and we'll see you all in 2 years. Some of us get reelected. We're adjourned.